There is a purpose to suffering, and if faced rightly, it can drive us like a nail deep into the love of God and into more stability and spiritual power than we can imagine.
Welcome to Mission 66, where Scripture meets real life. Today, John Matthews and Esther Sisulu are in the book of Ezra, sharing insights from Pastor Luis Seau's teaching. Ezra is a book that talks about the rediscovery of God's covenant and a return to worship after many years of exile. Download your study guide at mission66.org and let's get started. Here is Esther.
Thank you for joining us today as we learn what the book of Ezra has for us. Now, we'll be looking in chapters 4 through to 6, where the returning Judeans from the Babylonian captivity returned to Jerusalem and started to rebuild the ancient temple on the site where the previous one had been torn down. Well, today, our teacher, John Matthews, leads us in the theme, Opposition to the Work.
Thank you, Esther, and a very warm welcome to this latest episode of Mission 66, where we continue our journey through the book of Ezra. Last time, we left off at the beginning of chapter 4, and the exiles who'd returned to Judah after being in Babylon for 70 years, they're now working to rebuild the temple of God. Will those efforts move forward? Will the work proceed, or will they encounter difficulties? Well, I bet you can guess the answer to that question, because whenever we attempt something for God, there will be opposition. So here's chapter 4. Let's read it. Now, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the returned exiles were building a temple to the Lord, the God of Israel, they approached Zerubbabel and the heads of fathers' houses, and they said to them, "Let us build with you, for we worship your God as you do, and we have been sacrificing to him ever since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us here." But Zerubbabel, Jeshua, and the rest of the heads of fathers' houses in Israel said to them, "You have nothing to do with us in building a house to our God, but we alone will build to the Lord, the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us." Then the people of the land discouraged the people of Judah and made them afraid to build. And they bribed counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, they wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. So here we have the people of the land trying to stop the rebuilding of the temple through several kings' administrations. King Ahasuerus, the one they wrote this letter to, mentioned here, is the same one as history knows to be Artaxerxes. So down to now verse 11, this is a copy of the letter that they sent to Artaxerxes, the king. "Your servants, the men of the province beyond the river, send greeting. And now be it known to the king that the Jews who came up from you to us have gone to Jerusalem, and they are rebuilding that rebellious and wicked city. They're finishing the walls and repairing the foundations. Now be it known to the king that if this city is rebuilt and the walls finished, they will not pay tribute, custom, or toll, and the royal revenue will be impaired. Now, because we eat the salt of the palace, and it is not fitting for us to witness the king's dishonor, therefore we send and inform the king, in order that search may be made in the book of the records of your fathers. You will find in the book of the records, and learn that this city is a rebellious city, hurtful to kings and provinces, and that sedition was stirred up in it from of old. That was why this city was laid waste. We make known to the king that if this city is rebuilt and its walls finished, you will then have no possession in the province beyond the river." And the king sent a reply, saying, to Rehum, the commander, and Shimshai, the scribe, and the rest of their associates who live in Samaria and in the rest of the province beyond the river, greeting. And now, the letter that you sent to us has been plainly read before me, and I made a decree and search has been made, and it has been found that this city from of old has risen against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made in it, and mighty kings have been over Jerusalem who ruled over the whole province beyond the river, to whom tribute, custom, and toll were paid. Therefore, make a decree that these men be made to cease, and that this city be not rebuilt until a decree is made by me. And take care not to be slack in this matter. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the king? Then, when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their associates, they went in haste to the Jews at Jerusalem and by force and power made them cease. Then the work on the house of the God that is in Jerusalem stopped, and it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So we see, or certainly it appears, that the enemies of the Judeans were successful in stopping the work on the temple for a period of years. But let's get to chapter 5, where it says that the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, arose and began to rebuild the house of God that is in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, supporting them. So here we see, encouraged by the prophet Zerubbabel, the civic official of Jerusalem, and Jeshua the priest, they rally the workers and they begin building the temple despite the government's command. What happens next? This is verse 3. At the same time, Tattenai, the governor of the province beyond the river, and Shethar-Bozenai and their associates came to them and spoke to them thus: "Who gave you a decree to build this house and to finish this structure?" They also asked them this: "What are the names of the men who are building this building?" But the eye of their God was on the elders of the Jews, and they did not stop them until the report should reach Darius, and then an answer be returned by letter concerning it. And this is a copy of the letter that Tattenai, the governor of the province beyond the river, and Shethar-Bozenai and his associates, the governors who are in the province beyond the river, sent to Darius the king. And they sent him this report, in which was written the following: "To Darius the king, all peace. Be it known to the king that we went to the province of Judah, to the house of the great God. It is being built with huge stones, and timber is laid in the walls. This work goes on diligently and prospers in their hands. Then we asked those elders and spoke to them thus: Who gave you a decree to build this house and to finish this structure? We also asked them their names for your information, that we might write down the names of their leaders. And this was their reply to us: We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding the house that was built many years ago, which a great king of Israel built and finished. But because our fathers had angered the God of heaven, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried away the people to Babylonia. However, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, Cyrus the king made a decree that this house of God should be rebuilt, and the gold and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple that was in Jerusalem and brought into the temple of Babylon, these Cyrus the king took out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered to one whose name was Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor. And he said to him, take these vessels, go, put them in the temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be rebuilt on its site. Then this Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundations of the house of God that is in Jerusalem, and from that time until now it has been in building, and it is not yet finished. Therefore, if it seems good to the king, let search be made in the royal archives there in Babylon to see whether a decree was issued by Cyrus the king for the rebuilding of this house of God in Jerusalem, and let the king send us his pleasure in this matter. So Tattenai and his fellows thought they had legal standing to stop the temple project, but they were just about to be disappointed. This is Ezra chapter 6. Then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in Babylonia, in the house of the archives where the documents were stored, and in Ecbatana, the citadel that is in the province of Media. A scroll was found on which this was written, a record. In the first year of Cyrus the king, issued a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be rebuilt, the place where sacrifices were offered, and let its foundations be retained. Its height shall be 60 cubits, and its breadth 60 cubits, with three layers of great stones and one layer of timber. Let the cost be paid from the royal treasury. And also let the gold and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that is in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, be restored and brought back to the temple that is in Jerusalem, each to its place. You shall put them in the house of God. Now therefore, Tattenai, governor of the province beyond the river, Shetharbozenai and your associates, the governors who are in the province beyond the river, keep away. Let the work on this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews rebuild this house of God on its site. Moreover, I make a decree regarding what you shall do for these elders of the Jews for the rebuilding of this house of God. The cost is to be paid to these men in full and without delay from the royal revenue, the tribute of the province from beyond the river, and whatever is needed, bulls, rams, or sheep for burnt offerings to the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, or oil, as the priests at Jerusalem require. Let that be given to them day by day without fail, that they may offer pleasing sacrifices to the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons. Also, I make a decree that if anyone alters this edict, a beam shall be pulled out of his house, and he shall be impaled on it, and his house shall be made a dunghill. Well, this wasn't what the opposition had hoped to hear, but they knew they'd better leave the Judeans alone. And the elders then of the Judeans built and prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And we'll be getting to those guys, those prophets, later on here on Mission 66. They each wrote books of the Bible called by their names. And the rebuilding then of the temple in Jerusalem had the approval of the God of Israel, King Cyrus, King Darius, and now King Artaxerxes of Persia. And the work was finished on the third day of the Jewish month of Adar, in the sixth year of Darius the king's reign. And they dedicated the temple with great joy. They re-established temple worship and the sacrifices according to what is written in the book of Moses. And verse 19 says this. On the 14th day of the first month, the returned exiles kept the Passover. For the priests and the Levites had purified themselves together. All of them were clean. So they slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the returned exiles, for their fellow priests, and for themselves. It was eaten by the people of Israel who'd returned from exile, and also by everyone who had joined them and separated himself from the uncleanness of the peoples of the land to worship the Lord, the God of Israel. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful and had turned the heart of the king of Assyria to them, so that he aided them in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel.
Well, thank you so much for that, John. This has been very informative. And friends, this is Mission 66. Now, perhaps you have a question or a comment on this episode. Well, you can leave them by searching us on Mission 66 on Facebook and on Instagram. Well, there we encourage you to join the conversation and let us get to know the Bible, the Word of God, better together. Well, John, there is something that I find quite interesting here, and that is why Zerubbabel didn't want the people of the land to help rebuild. You know, I think most of us think that extra hands make the workload light. Why was this the case with him?
I think it depends, doesn't it, on the hearts of those people who are offering the work. And how many times have we seen through the relatively recent history of Israel and of Judah that their connection and their promotion, I suppose you could call it, of false gods has completely undermined them. And so Zerubbabel is right here to rebuff the neighbouring people, because we can recall that during the Assyrian captivity, when the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom, they brought in people from various other regions together with the Jewish population, and that created this mixed population in Samaria that was known as the northern kingdom. This group eventually becomes known as the Samaritans. So they're not part of Judah. They blended elements of Judaism with other beliefs, which would have constituted what was described as an unequal yoke. And Zerubbabel wanted to follow God's instructions precisely, involving just the priests and ensuring that everything was done this time according to the Mosaic law. And so Zerubbabel's refusal of the help of this mixed band was prudent. He knew that it would only lead to trouble. And he was right, because these people immediately begin a campaign of disruption. And if their attitude was one of helpfulness, well, then they certainly wouldn't have acted as they did after he had refused that help.
Well, it most certainly was wisdom on his part, a good call there. Now, this letter to the king that accused Jerusalem of being a rebellious city, which actually, if we go back into the books of Kings and Chronicles, this was actually true, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, God himself characterized the people as stubborn and rebellious. And that was the reason why God allowed them to be taken to Babylon as captives. And in those 70 years, though, isn't it interesting that only during that time of captivity and suffering that things changed? It was during those 70 years that the people were refined. They weren't the same as they were when they left Jerusalem in chains. There is a refining that only suffering can produce in us humans. The writer and preacher Tim Keller once said that Christianity teaches that contra fatalism, suffering is overwhelming, but contra secularism, suffering is meaningful. There is a purpose to it, and if faced rightly, it can drive us like a nail deep into the love of God and into more stability and spiritual power than we can imagine. So suffering changes us. And something had changed in these people. And God had purposed to have the Judeans return to their land and rebuild the temple. And when God purposes something, he is able to see it through in spite of any opposition that might arise.
Well, let's talk about that opposition. I mean, why did the people face such fierce accusations and interruptions during the temple's reconstruction? Did it have anything to do with political motives, religious or economic motives?
I think it was a mix, actually, of all those things, because the residents of the land wanted to maintain control of the region politically, economically. The arrival of these exiles, well, that threatened their dominance. And by accusing Jerusalem of being problematic, they hoped to discourage the Persian authorities from supporting the exiles. However, the exiles wisely rely on Cyrus's original decree and also Darius's support to continue that work.
Now, did the temple's reconstruction resume solely because of the decree, or were the prophets Haggai and Zechariah instrumental in motivating the people to overcome the opposition?
Well, both were crucial. The decree provided legal backing, whilst Haggai and Zechariah inspired the people to act. Now, we'll get to the books of Haggai and Zechariah, and we'll see how they addressed the people's apathy, and they encouraged them to get up off their easy chairs and prioritise the finishing of God's work in spite of opposition. And boy, is there a lesson in here for us today. Meanwhile, Darius's decree ensured that the funding and the protection for the project would be consistent. And so it's one of the rare times in history where government is working side by side with the priesthood to really push forward and accomplish something for God.
All right, John, well, chronologically speaking here, do we have a problem? Because it mentions Artaxerxes in chapter 4, verse 7, and then again in chapter 6, verse 14. How do we reconcile this with the timeline?
Yeah, the chronology can be a challenge to follow, can't it? But the Ezra narrative is not strictly chronological, as the author's purpose here is not to provide a perfectly sequential timeline. And understanding that really helps us as we try to glean what the main points of the message are. Also, starting from chapter 4, verse 7, the original text, it shifts from Hebrew to Aramaic, one of the few Old Testament sections that were written in that language. And that explains the change of name of Ahasuerus to Artaxerxes, who were effectively the same person. So Ezra writes from the perspective of 458, 457 BC, which was during Artaxerxes' reign, whilst the text mentions Cyrus, Darius, Xerxes and Artaxerxes. The main theme is the completion of the temple in spite of the ongoing opposition that was faced over the years.
Well, this has been quite the informative episode, and there's been quite a lot that I think we can take away from these three chapters. So how should we summarize?
Well, Ezra 4 through 6, we see, don't we, Esther, the returned exiles to Judah facing opposition whilst they're rebuilding the temple. Their adversaries, a mixed local population, they offer to help, but they're rejected by Zerubbabel, who senses that their motivation is impure. These adversaries then resort to sabotage, fear tactics, accusation, even writing to Persian kings like Artaxerxes, claiming that Jerusalem was a rebellious place. Well, that actually caused the work on the temple to grind to a halt for about 16 years. But then, encouraged by the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, the Jews resume construction despite ongoing opposition. And the Persian governor Tatanai, well, he seeks then to stop the work. But a search of royal records confirms King Cyrus's original decree. And that permits the project now, after 16 years of being on hold, to go forward. And King Darius not only upholds this decree, in fact, but he even funds the project from the royal treasury. And the temple is finished in Darius's sixth year. And the Jews, well, they celebrate joyfully and they re-establish worship and indeed the keeping of the Passover.
Thank you for that, John. And thank you, dear friends, for joining us for this episode of Mission 66. And just keeping with the thanks, we want to thank you for your prayers and your financial partnership with Mission 66, because that allows us to reach listeners in multiple languages around the world. Now, if you would like to make a donation to the ministry, you can visit mission66.org today. That's mission66.org. Well, friends, we trust that you will join us as we continue in the book of Ezra next time. So until then, may God bless you.
As we close today's program, take a minute to download your free study guide. You'll be able to follow along every single day. Plus, you can engage with the reflection and application questions so you can apply the teaching to your life. It's a great companion resource to the audio Bible teaching of John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. To get your free study guide, visit mission66.org. That's mission66.org. You can also support the ministry of Mission 66 when you visit the site. Your gift makes it possible for this great teaching to be heard in many languages around the world. Mission 66 is a ministry of Transworld Radio in partnership with Dr. Luis Seau.